Ross Atkins joins us on Baseball Central. Hello, Ross.
Hey, Jeff. How's it going?
Good.
Kevin,
you're on
how
with.
How you guys doing?
We're doing well. You're on with Kevin Barker and myself. You, I trust you enjoyed your break. I trust you were able to get away a little bit.
You know what? I did spend more time with my kids than I would have on another Monday or Tuesday. But you know, it's funny how I think how the game has evolved a little bit, where people actually do take a little bit of time on the All-Star break. At least the GMs I was talking to were talking about doing those things. But I think what technology has allowed us to stay in touch. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So you're able to, you know, maybe not come into the office, but it was still very active, as you can see, as moves have occurred, and we were certainly on the phone a great deal.
Well, I wanted to ask you that. I mean, look, I don't expect state secrets, but we know that there's some familiarity between you guys. I mean, you and Mark Shapiro and Drew Pomeranz. He was traded to the Red Sox. I'll just ask you, did you guys have any interest in Drew, and were there any talks with San Diego about him?
So, you know, I can't talk about specific mm-hmm. trade discussions and specific players. I can tell you that I'm a fan of Drew's. We are, you know, always pulling for. I mean, there's not many baseball players I don't pull for.
And, true.
But when you have a relationship with someone and you were a part of his introduction to professional baseball, you tend to be a little bit more connected to that. So very, very happy for this opportunity for him. I think the trade's an impressive one. It is, you know, that they were aggressive in trying to get Drew, no doubt. And Espinoza is one of the better prospects in baseball.
Yeah, Ross, when you see teams in the same division, the American League East, obviously the Red Sox doing that, does that put pressure on you as being one of the teams, say, in the American League East, to go out and sort of say, you did that, now we're going to try and do that, and plus something else? Does it put more pressure on you as a front staff to do anything like that?
You know, it's kind of like, you know, when people think about pressure, you know, imagine when you were pitching, Kevin, the situation, if it increases pressure on you, you typically are doing worse. So, you know, the pressure you put on yourself is typically the most productive, and, you know, guys that are intrinsically motivated to do the best they can absolutely do regardless of the situation typically have the best results. And guys that increase pressure because of circumstance or situation typically get out of their element or do things that are not controlling the controllables or try to do too much. So, you know, a really probably too complex answer for, listen, man, we're every day trying to make this team better and have to focus on what we can do to control what we can control. Now, what that move does is changes the market. So
mm-hmm.
that doesn't necessarily increase pressure, but it does increase potentially the price.
What is your sense of the market so far? You know, based on what you've been able to get, the read on it, you've been able to get over the All-Star break. You said the Red Sox were aggressive, and clearly they were. I mean, I think in some cases injuries obviously forced them into being aggressive. But is it your sense that we may have a more active market, Ross, than you originally thought, or a less active market than you originally thought?
It feels similar to past years to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe slightly more aggressive just because of the lack of pitching on the market. So things are moving maybe a little bit quicker on the bigger names. But, you know, I mean, it's hard to say. I'll have a better sense for that probably in a week. But what I can say is that the Toronto Blue Jays are hard to make better in this market.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, looking at the alternatives and what's out there as we consider, okay, what are the clear upgrades? There aren't a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
We have a really good team, and that has, you know, the team has taken better shape over the last few weeks. And it really is, as we consider what's out there, it's very difficult to look to improve our team. So, you know, whether or not this market ends up being more aggressive or more fluid or moving slower, whatever it may be, our challenge remains that it's a difficult team to upgrade.
Ross, I think most of us have been operating under the assumption that you guys, that the front office is interested in sort of addressing short and medium or long-term issues at the trade deadline. In other words, you're not necessarily interested in a rental player. You're sort of interested in someone that can help you now and maybe next year. And in some ways, the Jays are kind of lucky because the needs you have right now are sort of the same needs you will likely have next year regardless. I mean, even if you win the World Series, you may have the same needs. You may have the same needs next year. Are you still focused on that short and, you know, long-term answer to questions as opposed to simply, okay, we need another starting pitcher. We're going to go after this guy, even if he's only a rental.
No, I think that's well said. Everything you just said is well said. It's a very it's indicative of the market and what you've heard us say. Now, the only thing I would say that's subtly different is that we certainly could be interested in a rental. It just depends on the acquisition cost,
right?
And so that's how you have to balance it. And you know, for us, I don't think I've said this a few times. We certainly believe in windows of opportunity and making sure that you are opportunistic when you do have these opportunities. We also recognize that it can be an incredible jolt of energy into a clubhouse and what that means. And, you know, as long as you make the right moves and you're acquiring good makeup and somebody that's going to complement your clubhouse and complement your team. Our challenge remains that because of our starting pitching acquisitions in the offseason, a couple of things that have occurred from a health standpoint, and then a couple of guys who have really overachieved in Darwin Barney, Ezekiel Carrera, and we have Jose Bautista coming back into the fold, what Michael Saunders has done, it really is difficult to look out into the market and say, okay, here are clear upgrades because something's going to give. And that's where the balance is what's going to give and at what cost.
Well, we've gone 5 minutes without asking you about Aaron Sanchez, so I'm going to apologize. I'm now going to ask you about Aaron Sanchez.
No problem, man. I love talking about him. I love that we're in the situation that we are in.
Oh, it's much better than the alternative. Believe me, it's much better than the alternative. I'm interested in this, though. I try to figure out how to answer this. Could Aaron's status change depending on what's available in the market? In other words, do you and Mark and John and Pete Walker, do you have to sit down and say, okay, we're now ready to put Aaron Sanchez into the bullpen, therefore we need to go out and get pitcher X? Or is it the type of situation where maybe pitcher X is available on the market and you say, okay, we can get this guy, now we put Aaron Sanchez into the bullpen? In other words, what is the chicken and what is the egg here? Aaron Sanchez goes to the bullpen, or the person, a good replacement for him, is available on the market, therefore Aaron Sanchez goes into the bullpen?
You know, we might get to that point, but I don't see that occurring. I don't see that player there, and it's not that big of a market, right?
Right.
So I don't see the market driving that decision in any way. But you never know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there could be something where there's some type of acquisition that could subtly influence or impact that. But I can tell you honestly that we have not talked about it that way. We've only talked about it from the standpoint of what's best for our current situation and for Aaron Sanchez. So it really is a great situation to be in. The fact that, you know, at the start of the year, we were deciding whether or not it would be best to be in this situation, to get into the situation, and now we have to decide whether or not we should move an all-star out of our rotation.
Yeah, now, Ross, you've been in the American League East for, what, almost 90 games. Is it what you thought it would be, the American League East? Is it all it's cracked up to be? Because I know from afar,
yeah,
you know, it's not always the same as when you start digging into it and being actually a part of it. Is it all you expected it would be?
You know what, man? It is. It's been, you know, from a distance, you certainly respect the balance of the division, the challenges of it. I think the one thing you don't certainly feel is the size of the ballparks. You objectively are aware of it, but it certainly does create a little bit more run production playing in some of these ballparks. But you know, the other thing is it just doesn't really relent. And that, you know, it's different. Every team, every division has certain challenges because there are some benefits to this one. The excitement and energy around the ballparks, the fans that are following these teams, and the travel's relatively nice. But, you know, it does not relent, man. It is, you know, you look up and you got four against, you know, the Orioles after, you know, a long stretch that you felt like you fared pretty well and your bullpen's beat up, and then you got to play, you know, whatever, you know the gig. But, mm-hmm. man, it's relentless.
Yeah, you just talked about getting Jose Bautista back, and, you know, I have to ask you about Chris Colabello. I know we've been seeing him a little bit playing in the minor leagues, and, you know, you said you getting Bautista back would be a big deal. Now, Chris Colabello in the last year was one of the best hitters on the Blue Jays team. You get a guy back like that could give you any production whatsoever would be a big deal. Any plans one way or the other for him, what he's going to be a part of this team sooner than later?
So really, I mean, you know, we'll have to balance it with what our alternative is at that point, how guys are faring, how guys are playing. He's not quite as established as a Jose Bautista. Love Chris Colabello, incredible player, a very good piece to what occurred here last year, and know that he can help. The other factor is that he cannot be on our playoff roster. So we have to balance that with whoever we take off of our team now, recognizing that Chris won't be a part of the playoff team. So it's a tough situation for us. It's way tougher for Chris. And it's one that we will look to really just, you know, go day by day and not commit to anything. But certainly glad that we're going to have him as an alternative again.
Yeah, Jeff asked you earlier about Aaron Sanchez, and I have to follow up on that. You know, we just love talking about Aaron Sanchez on this show because, you know, he's a lot of fun to watch. But the last couple of times, especially in the Detroit start and now the All-Star game, to me, he looked like he was overthrowing a little bit. He was trying to get back to throwing, you know, turning around and looking at that clock and it's saying 97, 98. He looked like he was trying to get it to that number. Do you see any of that? And if you do, is that a worry for a young guy to – you know, trying to overthrow of that nature?
You know, so much of that is hard to balance when you're watching the results, because I've also seen, I did not feel that. I did not feel that he was trying to do too much or overexerting himself in the moment. I'm not saying that I'm right either.
Mm-hmm.
But that did not come to mind as I was watching him pitch. So much of it, you know, is impacted by outcomes, because I've seen Aaron Sanchez get a lot of outs at the top of a strike zone and get a lot of swing and miss at the top of the strike zone. So when that turns into balls or hit by pitches, it's a very fine line, and things can, you know, when a ground ball is not hit at someone, like the ground ball that was hit up the middle in the All-Star game,
mm-hmm.
you know, then it kind of changes the perception of things. I think, you know, in Detroit, had a couple of more balls not found holes, or had he, you know, walked one less guy, not hit a guy, you know, I'm not so sure we would be talking about that. But I honestly, Kevin, I didn't feel that he mm-hmm. was overexerting or trying to do too much. He still looks really strong to me.
Ross, we know that Jose Bautista is due back at some point. I believe, are you guys still expecting him back early in August, the end of end of July, or is there a time frame table?
We're really going day by day. It's such a the injury is not one that is crystal clear. It has a lot to do with it. So it's not dependent upon pain tolerance. It's not as dependent upon anything other than how quickly does someone heal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something where we want to say, okay, you know, this is where we expect him back. I will tell you that we're feeling better and better each day about him speeding up a timeline that is projected and very raw.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, feel like, you know, really we're not going to be too far into August before he's back.
Okay, is there a scenario, though, where you think he might DH and you may have Ezekiel Carrera or somebody else in the outfield? Is that possible? Or when he comes back, could you see him going right into the outfield?
Yeah, I think he goes right into the outfield.
Okay.
But, you know, there's any scenario that we'll consider, and a lot of it will be dependent upon how he's feeling is certainly how Zeke is feeling and how he's playing. But, you know, right now, as of today, Jose is our right fielder.
I know that I had a conversation with the commissioner's office yesterday about some of David Ortiz's statements at the All-Star game about Edwin Encarnacion. And I mean, I don't expect they're going to do anything, but they're certainly aware of them. And they said they're going to look into look into them as possible tampering, frankly, probably just to kind of send a message up to everybody to just shut up when it comes to this. But how concerned are the Blue Jays, or were the Blue Jays, about those statements from Edwin? Because, you know, from David Ortiz. Because, look, I think we all know there's nothing surprising when it comes to the market or anything like that. And we can, most of us can put two and two together and come up with something resembling four. But at the same time, you can't have people from other teams running around saying, hey, come join me or come join us. I mean, you just can't do that. If you did that, you'd be hammered.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's two things that come to mind. One is, you know, I'm focused on this team. I'm focused on how we're making it better. And, you know, Edwin has represented the Blue Jays exceptionally well. So I don't spend too much time thinking about Big Poppy other than how to get him out. So, you know, really, it didn't faze me seemingly the same way that it fazed others. But at the same time, I understand and respect that it could be influencing the market on some level. So, but again, I just go back to focusing on how do we make our situation better. Is there anything we can do to help our chances to keep Edwin here? And the second thing that, you know, I remind myself of is that ultimately, you know, I never view it this way. I wake up every day thinking about baseball as a competitive game where you're trying to win every day. But it's also the entertainment business.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Big Poppy is a dynamic personality that is ultimately good for baseball. He is someone that draws attention and brings people to the game. So any time that this game is getting attention, ultimately it's a good thing. Oh, for the most part. For the most part. But, you know, so I remind myself of that before it creates any unnecessary venom.